I invite you then to turn with me to Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 4, on page 1791 in your pew Bibles, and we're going to read there together the first seven verses. Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And then we continue working through the Lord's Prayer, as exposited for us by Lord's Day 46. Why is Christ commanded us to address God as Father? And the church confesses to awake in us at the very beginning of our prayer what should be basic to our prayer, a childlike reverence and trust that through Christ God has become our Father and will much less refuse to give us what we ask in faith than will our parents refuse us the things of this life. And why the words, who is in heaven? And these words teach us not to think of God's heavenly majesty in an earthly way, and to expect from his almighty power everything needed for body and soul. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how often have you not prayed those words, Our Father who art in heaven? And I think you know, but I think we sometimes forget, or the wonder of it is lost a little bit, that it really is a privilege to call God, in Hebrew, Elohim. Elohim is the creator, the sustainer, the provider, the one who watches over the universe. That God is not only Abba, Father, but he is our Father who is in heaven. That we may call this God Father is his gift to us. First of all, we come to know him as Father through his word. Through Jesus Christ, we are given the right to call him Father, adopted as sons and as heirs. Even though once we were children, even though we were minor, even though there was a time in our life we had no right to call God our Father. And yet through the wonderful word of God, through Jesus Christ himself, and the disciples asked him, Jesus, how shall we pray? He says, and when you pray, you begin your prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. Now that was a movement from the Old Testament because the Israelites definitely could think of God as Father. We sang that together from Psalm 103. As a father pities his children, so doth the Lord God pity us. He knows us, we are his. He knows how we are formed. So there was a thought, a thinking about God our Father, and we'll explore the Old Testament further, but that real intimate sense of address had to be brought into our reality as the Church of Jesus Christ through the work of Jesus Christ. And so Paul makes that clear in Galatians chapter 4. How did we become the sons of God? Well, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. And as we heard this morning, born to become a wretch, to save wretches like us, so that no longer would we be wretches, no longer would we be sinners, but we would be sinners who are saved to be the children of God, our Father, who art in heaven. And so we should take some time from time to time to just think about what that means and who you're praying to. A Father who is intimate and close to you, and yet is holy and utterly distinct from us, who is in heaven. And if he didn't come from heaven to us, there's no way we would ever get from here to come to him, and we would never even think of calling him our Father. And yet God commands us to pray to him as our Father in heaven. That's our theme for this afternoon. And first of all, then we'll see the Father's love, and then we will see the Father's power. Our Father who art in heaven, why did Jesus command us to pray that way? The Catechism, as always, does a wonderful job of defining these things and helping us to think about these things, to awaken in us at the very beginning of our prayer what should be basic to our prayer, a childlike reverence and trust that through Christ, God has become our Father. A childlike trust that God has become our Father because of Jesus Christ. So when we begin to think about that, we realize that there's something different about Jesus, who was born in the fullness of time, who was born of a woman, who was always the Son of God, even when he was in the form of a human. And so we confess that together from the Nicene Creed. He is naturally, or the begotten, Son of God, God of God, light of God, light, very God of very God, the big Latin word, or the theological word is homoousios. Homo means one, and ousios means essence. They're of one and the same essence. And yet that really doesn't get to it, because God is spirit. He really is not of essence, but we don't have the words that we need as small little human beings to think about the wonder that is our God, who condescended to us to send his Son, who condescended to us by taking on our form and becoming a human being. And that this Jesus Christ loved the Father so and honored the Father as a Son and was utterly obedient to the Father because he loved the Father and he knew the Father's love not only for him but for us who were chosen in him from before the foundation of the world. My Son, I want you to take on human flesh. My Son, I want you to come to earth and die on the cross for my people. I need you to die so that you will resurrect and that the spirit of life that is within you will be given to all of my sons and my daughters, that by that spirit they will cry out, Abba, Father. So we should understand then when we address God as Father, and whenever we're seeing the word Father, that you should see that even in Galatians chapter 4, that the Trinity is always involved. When you're addressing God, who is three in one, the three in one God says, I want you to address me as Father, but included in the Father is the Son, which makes him Father, and the Father and the Son is the Spirit who moves in us that we would cry out to him, Abba, Father. And what manner of love is this? While we were yet enemies, while we were yet sinners, God would do what we could not do, as we heard this morning, that Christ had to come to substitute for us. He had to become not only the Son of God in terms of the Godhead, which he was, but to do that in human flesh, so that he could take upon himself our sin. So when Paul writes to the Ephesians, he puts it this way. You were all once children of wrath, dead in your sins, but you he made alive again. So if Jesus is of the same essence of God, we are not. We are not of ourselves the natural children of God. We are in fact unnatural children who have been separated from the Father. And as Paul says, we were joined to the prince of darkness, the prince of this air, that we were bound in slavery to our passions, to our sins, to our depravity, to our dark way of thinking. We were futile in our minds, and there was no way. We were not even looking to be the children of God. We were content in being the children of wrath. And then he moved in our hearts. He moved in our lives. He moves in the experience of the elect through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he changes us so that we become alive. And then we cry out, Abba, Father. So when you read those words there, notice how that goes. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out. It's interesting. Who's crying out? It's the Spirit in you. And what is the Spirit in you crying out? Abba, Father. Now, can any of you remember when we've heard that kind of language? Maybe you'll go to Romans chapter 8, that the Spirit of God works in our hearts when we don't even have the words to speak, and then he groans for us. That all of you who have the Spirit of God cry out, Abba, Father. But even that, there's something before it. We talked a little bit about it this morning. It's when Jesus is in Gethsemane. And read the Gospel of Mark. And then read what Jesus says in the Gospel of Gethsemane. He cries out, Abba, Father. He cries out to Almighty God that, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That's where that comes from. Our Abba, our Father, save us. Father, redeem us. Father, adopt us. Father, change us. But we would not be able to do it if the Spirit wasn't crying out for us, because it's not natural to us. And that's the beauty, and that is the great marvel of God the Father. Do you trust him? Do you know him? Do you believe in him? Do you love him? It's very important when we talk about God as Father to go to Scripture first. Because you'll meet people, and I think you'll even meet people in the church, but certainly from outside of the church, who really struggle with the idea of God as Father because of what their fathers have done to them. Any of you who have worked with an abused woman or an abused man, or the horrible, terrible things that a father can do to a child, a father who was drunk or a father who was stoned, or how many men in this congregation haven't hurt because their father never said, I love you. How many women in this congregation still are confused about what their father thought about them, let alone their mother? And then we can very quickly think, is that really what God our Father is like? And yet Jesus actually said, you know, you fathers know how to give your children good gifts. Who of you, if they asked for a fish or a piece of bread, would give them a stone or give them a viper? If you know how to give your children good gifts, but he was speaking in the understanding of what a good father is, but many of us perhaps have not had a good experience with father. But then what the father says, now I want you to look at me and what I've done for you in Jesus Christ. Go to the word of God. Your fathers can never be what I am to you. Don't ask your fathers to be what I am to you. I am a father who can love you in a way that your human father could never love you. You see, all of us come from a father. Not every human being knows who their father is. Most of us do. But all of us know that simply being part of the birth of a child or the conception of the child is not really what a father is about. When we think of the love of God the Father, who pities us, who has compassion upon us, who knows that we are dust, who knows that we are frail, who knows that we are sinners, who knows that we cannot save ourselves, and then from before the foundation of the time decides to create you as part of the great universal brotherhood of men. And yes, it's true, every human being owes their existence to our Father who art in heaven. You know him intimately. You know him in a way that they cannot know him because he's made himself known to you. Why? Because he loves you. And he wants you to love him. And he loved you so much that he gave his son to die for you. But there's more than that. He's been watching over you every part of your life. He is the father who watches over you that nothing evil will befall you, and anything that would, he would turn it to your good. Even your own sin is working out for your salvation so that in all things you are more than conquerors, literally super conquerors, through him who loved us. That's who God is. Your father is. God, your father, who is providing your food and your drink and your clothing so that Jesus, why do you run after all this stuff? Why are you worried about your money? Why are you worried and losing sleep over all this stuff? Do you not believe I am your Father who art in heaven? If I've given you my Son, will I not give you everything that you need? I know what you need before you even ask. How can we know that? Because Jesus told us that. Who made ocean, earth, and sky? God, my loving Father. This is my Father's world, that though the wrong seems off so strong, my Father, who is God, is the ruler yet. And this God loves us as a father. And not only then does he come into our lives and adopt us, brings us into his family, he brings us into a family of others whom he loves. So that it's our Father, and we cry out, Abba, Father, and we are part of the family, and we are part of the group has been saved, and we minister to each other, so that this love that the Father has given to us flows out for the brothers and the sisters. And it is a remarkable thing that all of us who have all different last names will call each other brother and sister. Doesn't the world want it? Doesn't the world need it? And then they make it an ethnicity thing or an identity thing or whatever it is that they make it. And we can say, no, we have a real bond in blood, in the blood of Jesus Christ, who came in the fullness of time. John wrote this, but as many as received him, he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And Paul picks this up then when he says, God sent forth his Son. This is by the will of Almighty God. I think we lose that sense of the wonder of it. You remember 1 Corinthians 13? 1 Corinthians talks about love and what love is. It's not proud. It doesn't boast. It keeps no records of wrongs. And then at the end of that chapter, Paul says, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But then when I became a man, an adult, I began to reason like a man, and I began to think like an adult. And here's what I came to understand, that now we look into a mirror dimly. Now, back then, the mirrors certainly were not like the mirrors we have where we can see clearly. Those mirrors, you could see enough, but it was a blurry. And he says, I know now, but then I will know when I see God face to face. And then he ends that, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. What does he mean by that? What he means to say is, do you think you know how loved you are now? I hope you do. I really hope you have a sense that you are loved. Right, 1 John 4, dear children, dearly loved children of God, then that is what we are. You have to believe that. The devil's going to tell you no. But the Bible and the Holy Spirit are working out in your heart. Abba, Father, you are loved. But as much as you can taste and feel the love now, you cannot even begin to understand how loved you are until you get to see Jesus Christ in the glory and to be in the presence of God the Father and of the glory that waits for us when we're on that new heavens and that new earth, and you'll go, that's how loved I am. We have no clue how much God has forgiven us. Can you even list the sins you did today? And they're all forgiven? And in spite of everything I've done to offend God, today he says, I love you. You are my Son. In my Son I have begotten you. And that I am with you. And I will take care of you. This is who God is in his nearness and in his love. That through Christ, God has become my Father and will much less refuse to give us what we ask in faith than will our parents refuse us the things of this life. This is our confession. This is our God. This is our God who is absolutely near to us. But he's not just our Father. He is our Father who is in heaven. And now we need to think a bit about his power. Who is this loving God who loves us? He is in heaven. That we ought not to think of God's heavenly majesty in an earthly way and to expect from his almighty power everything we need for body and soul. So at the beginning of my prayer, I pray to a God who wants to hear me. I think of Adam and Eve at the end of that day and God would visit with them. I think of God who talks with his people. God who wrote that word for us that we could know him, love him, and understand him. And that this God is so utterly limited, at least by me. I don't know how you are. Part of that is because I'm a limited human being. I'm a defined person. I am stuck with who I am. I can't even imagine how unimaginable God is, how fantastic, how great, the expanse of his wonder, how deep is his love. What is there that he cannot take care of for me or for the world or for everything? That everything is going according to plan, that he is working all things out for the good of those who love him. And then we think of two things. First of all, we think of predestination. That nothing can separate us from the love of God because we have been predestined. God has decided to save us. And if he has decided to save us, as Jesus said, all that I have the Father has given to me, and nothing can snatch them from my Father's hand, John 10. And what does Jesus mean? It means that if you belong to Jesus, you belong to God the Father, and even Satan himself, even you yourself, cannot separate yourself from Almighty God. You are saved, sorry. Nothing can stop the plans of God. Who is stronger than God? Satan? God made Satan. God is in control of Satan. Sin, even death, cancer, COVID, all of these things. We get so uptight about all of these things, the economy, my health, my marriage, all of these things, and God is saying, here I am. Do you not think that I don't have enough money for you, enough love for you, enough wisdom for you, enough power for you? Do you really think I can't take care of you? Do you not trust me? Do not think of me as an earthly father. Earthly fathers die. Earthly fathers lose their job. Earthly fathers quit on their wives. Yes, God knows that. But he says, that's not me. How does he put it in those amazing words from Isaiah? Where he says in Isaiah 49, can a mother forget the child that she suckles at her breast, the fruit of her womb? Though a mother might forget, God says, I will never forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palm of my hand. Now, trust me. Believe in me. Do not limit me. And certainly do not try to get me to do what you want me to do on the basis of your tiny, feeble little wills. Start reading the Word. Start looking out at that marvelous creation. Start experiencing me by the power of that Spirit. And you cry out, Abba. And if their greatest need is for forgiveness, and I have provided that, what is there for you that I won't give you? Now, I love you enough and I have power enough to make sure that you'll be reminded. And if I have to give you a tough time, the Father says, I will. And I have to get you through a difficult time, I will. And if I have to get you through the valley of the shadow of darkness, I will. And if you need to have a really good time, and if you need to have wonderful, amazing times, I'm going to give you all of that too. But trust me. Do not think of me in an earthly way. And that's why we speak of the providence of God, then, don't we? That good and bad, lean and full years, hunger and famine, and feast and riches, sickness and health, they all come from the hand of God because he's using everything at his power to bring his people to salvation. And I wonder sometimes if we really think about that when we pray, when we sit together at a meal and we're hungry, and we kind of want to get going and we want to eat and get ready for the rest of the evening, and then how quickly do we pray? Or we're sitting there in the job site and, yeah, I should say a prayer for a minute, and then we quickly fire it off. Our Father who art in heaven, God is great, God is good. Let us thank him for our food. Ich bin sloppen, ich bin müde. When you know how the song goes. But do we think about what we're saying? But I think it has to go deeper than that. Do we think about who we're actually talking to? Have we become so familiar with God that we've forgotten? You know, even you hear all the time, oh, you cry out, Abba, and that means daddy. That's not what it means. They could have used the word daddy, but he didn't. Twice in Scripture, actually three times, it's Abba, Father. It's a term of respect, endearing respect, but it is a term of honor. Do we honor God with our prayers? And then to go further, do I really honor God with my prayers in terms of praying according to His will, according to what He wants done, in accordance with the sense that He knows best what is for us? And I think how often my prayers are dishonorable. How often we pray in such a way that brings no dignity to God, no majesty to God. How often do we spend time in prayer praising God? You know, it was one of the things when I was in Ukraine with the students there, and it was always astounding how they ask for so very little. They're always thanking God and praising Him. And I think, do we have this list of things? Lord, keep the kids safe today. Please bless the Christian school. Make sure we have enough to eat. Keep everybody safe. And on the list goes. But how often do we spend time intimating our love for our Father? You know, I said that many of us men sometimes struggle with. Maybe our fathers didn't tell us enough that they love us, or however that goes. But how often do we tell God that we love Him? How often in your prayers do we say, God, my Father, I love You. And thank You. Thank You for being God. And Jesus saved. Amen. How often do we just tell Him how much He means to us and what we would be without Him? To just spend time loving Him and honoring Him and worshiping Him in prayer over against how much time I spend on me, mine, and me. And you realize, again, it's good, isn't it, that the Catechism gets us to reflect again, that the Word of God reflects, gets us to reflect again. Those beautiful words of Jeremiah, am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Can anyone hide in secret places that I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? And in Psalm 115, verse 3, our God is in the heavens, and He shall do as He pleases. This is our God, and He shall blessing send. And that God is our Father in heaven. That God loves us, and we didn't deserve it. That God adopted us when no one else wanted us. That God has signed the adoption papers in the blood of Jesus Christ. And we will always be His children. Even to the end of the age, His Son will be with us so that we will always be His children. And He's going to send us out, even this week again, into the orphanage of the world, into the orphanage of Satan. And someone, perhaps, is going to hear from you what it means to be a child of the living God and say, can I find out more? Can I learn more from you? Can I become part of your family? Because I need a father like that. I need a God like that. The Muslims need a God like that. The Buddhists need a father like that. The Hindus need someone to love them like God does. The atheist has no clue how badly he needs or she needs God, our loving Father, and the wondrous love the Father has. But you know, never stop tiring about bragging about your Father. Any of you remember that sometimes in the schoolyard or whatever? My dad can do this. Well, I tell you, everyone in this room who believes in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior has a father who cannot be beat. That we have a father that there is no father besides him that's better than him. That we have a father who loves us, and no one could love us like he loves us. Do you believe? This is our confession. Our Father who art in heaven, a childlike trust and reverence, that we would hold on to him and trust him and go to him in faith who is in heaven to honor him, to be assured of his power and strength, who in the fullness of time gave us his son, who died on the cross so that we are no longer slaves and we are no longer children, but we are heirs. We are the sons of God by the power of God and the Spirit that cries out, Abba, Father, we love you and we adore you. Blessed be your holy name. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your decision, for your changing of our hearts and wills, for making us alive, for adopting us, for making us new creatures, for saving us. Oh, Lord our God, all things are possible for you. We ask, Father, now that we would take up our cup and we would do the will that you have put before us to do in the week ahead, no matter what that would mean, to bring honor to your name, to bring dignity to the family. Father, we pray that we would and one day begin to know and understand just how loved we really are to that great day when Jesus Christ comes again, when faith will abide and hope will abide and love will abide, but we will know how greatly loved we are. And so, Father in heaven, we pray that you would help us give our lives and our souls to you, that we would adore you, and that we would bow down before you with all the angels in glory, giving you praise because you are a God of grace. You are our Father in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.